It's on, that's it on YouTube.
Brilliant. Right then, let's get started, Zeh. No worries.
Can we swear?
Can you fuck? Fuck no. This is a family show.
It's like
I was expecting to be told like some rules or something, you know, some like do's and don'ts of the English.
Well, I've got. Awesome.
Right. Right, let's get
somebody,
going.
Somebody start.
Hi everyone, Lewis Smith here of MMA UK, coming to you with the MMA UK Late Show. We're back with these now, so make sure you tune in. Follow us live on Facebook, follow us live on YouTube. We are at MMA UK, and we're going to be talking tonight about this weekend's UFC, UFC 239, which was the fight week at Las Vegas. We've got a few guests here tonight. Firstly, I'm going to come to our first guest, who is the main man himself, Ricky Wright. Ricky, how are you this evening, buddy?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I obviously, for people who don't know, Ricky is the top
ring announcer. Hang on a second. Everybody knows who I am. What are you on about?
Well, for anyone who didn't, there might be those one or two weirdos, Rick. I got to paint it for everyone.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You have.
But Rick, I mean, I don't know, given that you're the ring announcer, do you want to announce the show tonight? Do you want to shout everyone out?
Yeah, I'll give her a bash. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome, wearing the red shirt, Lewis Smith. And the guy wearing the tap out, Peter Knox.
Yeah!
And what's your name again?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm Nathan.
Nathan.
Jacobs.
Nathan Jacobs. And your reigning champion of MMA UK, Nathan Jacobs.
Yeah. That was nice. So, yeah, Ricky, thank you for joining us, buddy. Much appreciated. And, Rick, have you just come back from the IMAFs, have you?
Yeah, well, I went out there to MC the European Championships in Rome 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago. Took a team of Welsh guys out there, 12 Welsh guys. A lot of cool stuff happened, like Scott Pedersen win the bronze. So, you know, we went out there and first time as a team, and it was quite a big success. We had a lot of wins. Our youngest member, Yaya McKenzie, out wrestled a Russian over 3 rounds and got a decision. Some really nice scalps out there. It's a legacy building, and every year we go back, we're going to bring more and more medals. Definitely.
Yeah, that's excellent. And Peter, I'll come to you and see you on your phone there. Are you alright?
Yeah, I'm just spamming Facebook so we get at least 2 people watching it and not just my mum.
Ah, brilliant. I'll let you go on with that one then. Nathan, first time on the show tonight, buddy.
Very excited.
Welcome to the team. For anyone who doesn't know, Nathan's recently come on board with MMA UK. Introduce yourself to the people, Nathan.
Hello, I'm Nathan. What can I say? I write about all different things about MMA. I write about mental illness in MMA. I write about weird stuff about MMA. I try and do like recaps, but only the bits that people care about, not like sort of news. Like, I'm not really a journalist. I'm more like a, you know, writer.
Yeah.
What was the name of your latest article tonight, Nathan? We just published it an hour ago.
What's that?
What's the name of your latest article we published an hour ago? Everybody should go read it.
It is called, I probably should know the name of it, shouldn't I? It is called, I'm going to have to go onto our actual website to get the name of my own article. That's how bad my memory is. Let me have a look. I think it's on the front page, isn't it?
It's called
John Jones Almost Drowns in His Own Kool-Aid and Street Jesus Baptizes Ben Askren. What a name.
That's genius. I love that title.
So with that title mentioned, then let's jump straight into what we're going to talk about tonight. Obviously, this weekend, UFC 239 went down in Las Vegas. International Fight Week. I would say it didn't disappoint for a lot of the fans. Ricky, I'll come to you first. Main event. John Jones defeated Thiago Santos. Split decision. A really interesting fight. What was your take on the fight, buddy?
Oh, it was a really good fight. I mean, I read a tweet from Ariel Helwani not so long ago where he said that Santos had to be wheelchaired out of the arena Like that, it was that much of a war that, you know, so close between winning and losing. Of course, it was a split decision, and I'd like to see her again. I mean, you know, there's no question. Enough five rounds of that would be well worth watching again. I didn't pay for it, of course, because, you know, I'm team stream.
Team stream.
Well, we're gonna come back to team stream at the end. But Nathan, really close fight, split decision. Not seen John Jones a split decision since I think probably the Gustafsson fight. And as we all know as well, Santos hurt his leg throwing one of those kicks. Would you want to see this one again first? And also, how did you score the fight? Because obviously, one of those judges gave it to Santos.
I don't think that Santos won. I thought that Jones won. However, I could have seen Santos winning. Like, when it went to the third or the fourth, I started to think, oh shit, is something terrible going to happen here? But I've got to be honest, I did think that John Jones won it. But I think it could have gone either way. And that's why when they announced it was a split, I just kind of wish it could have gone split in Santos. I just think it would have made things much more interesting. And I think he did enough to win. Because his strikes were much more impactful than Jones's. I felt like that Jones was sort of fighting a little bit. And the damage that they were doing to each other's legs was incredible. I thought that Santos was really seriously hurt. And I think if he hadn't have been... I mean, there was a couple of times... I think like what it is when someone's as good as John Jones is, I think sometimes anything the other guy does, you think, oh my God, that's incredible, because John Jones is just that good. But a few times I thought, oh shit, Santos might take this. And I think if we saw it again, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
Peter, another contender bites the dust now at this point. Is it a case of a rematch because there's just not much other competition for John Jones, or do you think there's going to be a different contender next time?
Just to pick up what Ricky said about Santos being in the wheelchair, John Jones was carried out the octagon as well.
Yeah.
It was a brutal fight. It was a fight of leg kicks for me, and it was absolutely brutal, the leg kicks they were taking. Because Jones, he just seemed to take them. He wasn't checking them or nothing. He checked a couple of them, but his inside thigh was like a balloon. So as for who Jones faces next, I think that will depend on the result of DC versus Stipe. Because Jones is now hinting that if the fans want it, he'll go up to heavy and they'll do it. So I reckon if DC beats Stipe, they'll do DC v Jones, but it'll be at heavyweight. I think the other division will be put on hold until that fight's done.
Yeah. And for everyone watching at home, Stipe is Scottish for Stipe Miocic. Just so people know that.
Yeah, Stipe. I was wondering what was going on there. Was that on purpose?
just the way I talk.
Rick, do you want to see that fight? Which one do you want to see next, buddy?
Do you know, I'd like to see him fight Stipe Miocic, because you know, we've seen him fight Chicken Boy a few times, and I'd rather see him fight. If Jones goes up to heavyweight, I'd rather see the Stipe fight, to be honest. There's only so many times you can watch Jones versus Cormier. I mean, the banter leading up to the fight will be the same off the scale stuff again, but I think the fight will pretty much go the same. But I think Stipe got a bit something different to offer in a fight against Jones, even though he's lost to Cormier in the past.
Yeah. And guys, overall, then, what do we think of this as a main event for a fight, International Fight Week? Nathan, I come to you first, because I think there was a little bit of criticism leading into the card a few weeks out. People say it's not the strongest card they've ever put on International. Do you think the main event lived up to expectations?
I think that, I actually mentioned it in my last article, or the one before that, I think that John Jones has become really boring just because he's so good. And I think it's not as fun to watch him anymore. And this is definitely evidence of it. I mean, it was almost the best fight ever, but ended up being the worst fight ever, I think. I think it was... I don't think it's really a main event.
Rick, you agree with that or disagree?
Well, I always find that... Like, I went to Vegas 3 years ago for International Fight Week. And I actually emceed out there. I got to bring it.
Oh my god!
I was actually emceeing for International Fight Week out there 3 years ago, but enough talking about me. I'm quite a modest guy. But like, that was a huge card 3 years ago, and I left feeling really deflated. But this card might not have been as big as people want it to be, but I think a lot of the fights delivered. So like, I've been to UFCs where the cards have been amazing and the fights have been terrible and vice versa, so you never know what you're going to get. And I really enjoyed the card, the fights at least, you know.
Yeah, fair play. And then that takes us on to the co-main event.
Hey, Lewis, yeah. It's been a couple of comments there.
Go
about
on.
The Mick Kane says Johnny Walker up next for Jones. Now, I've seen a few people want that. I don't think he's ready yet, but it would be a one to watch. Frankie says Jean next. I don't know how to pronounce his second nameless. You have a look.
Where are we looking? Sorry, on the comments, is that?
Jean, son of a bitch.
Jean, I don't know how to say
his name. How do you pronounce it? If I can't pronounce Stipe, I've got no fucking hope of pronouncing that.
Blaškovič?
Yeah, yeah.
Blaškovič?
Yeah, so Frankie said that. So it's just a few people commenting about that.
Right, no, fair enough. So we got Gordon, this call made event. Peter, I'm going to come to you first with this one.
Who was it again?
This Holly Holm. Talking about, obviously, dominant champions, Amanda. I think she cemented herself now, isn't she, with that head kick KO of Holly Holm?
I was talking about that earlier, and if she beats Cyborg in the rematch, she's the undisputed GOAT. I know a lot of people say she's beating everybody it is, and she has, and you can't argue with that. And I wouldn't argue with people calling her the GOAT right now, but I think she would definitely cement it 1,000%. Because that fight with Cyborg was whoever hot each other on the chin first, they were just both going full pelt. You know what I mean? It was a crazy, crazy fight, that one. Mm-hmm. The Holly Holm one, a lot of people were tipping Holly to pull off the upset with her movement and all that, and Amanda stepped up again and just absolutely smashed her. I was watching Dana White afterwards, and he was hinting that Holly possibly quitting the sport now and retiring. Which I thought, why is she talking like that? It'd be up to her. I don't think she should quit yet. I think she's got a couple of fights in her yet. But I think, well, Amanda's there, that she's got no chance of winning, getting the belt again. So.
Yeah. No, it was, I mean, and it kind of reminded me, Rick, I don't know if you agree with this or not, but a couple of years ago, people used to describe John Jones and say he'll take your best skill and use it, and he'll do that to you. That's kind of what about Amanda Nunes in this. You know, Holly Holm is known as the big kicker. We thought if she would win this one, it might be with a head kick. And then she goes and head kicks her, puts her to sleep in the first round. What was your thoughts on the fight?
Well, I'm a massive fan of Holly Holm and what she's done in boxing, kickboxing, and now MMA. So if she carries on fighting, which, you know, selfishly I'd like to see her fight some more because I find it entertaining to watch. But if she did retire, you can't, you know, her legacy and everything she's done for three different disciplines of fight sport, she is one of the greatest crossover athletes of all time. As for the fight, I think Amanda Nunes is on a different level from anyone in the featherweight and the bantamweight division. I don't think anyone's going to touch it for a while. And I think Dana White is missing a massive trick as well, because he's saying she's not marketable because she's from Brazil and she's not attractive in the same way as like Paige VanZant is attractive. But she's got she's got a massive LGBT support, and you should capitalize on that because she's probably inspiring people from that community every day, and that's a huge market. And he could be capitalizing on building up a huge start amongst that community. And as far as the GOAT, she's beaten every single title holder at featherweight and bantamweight up until now. So yeah, I think she is the GOAT. But again, if she did fight Cyborg, maybe Cyborg will take a bit of a chill pill this time and not come out like a bag of cocks. Because if she took her time, she might have and picked a shot, she might have got the win.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I kind of feel like watching Amanda over these last couple of years, she's so powerful, she's so well-rounded, her strikes are so clean. To be honest, I think she's the GOAT now, and honestly, I think if she fights Cyborg again, I think we'll see exactly the same thing, if I'm honest. The rematch I'm more interested in seeing is her and Valentina, if I'm honest. I think that's a much more competitive matchup. If Valentina would go out and try and become a double champ, I think that would be the most marketable fight. What's your thoughts on that, Nick?
I think this was going to be the test, if there was going to be a test, because Holly is such a technical striker. I don't think that Cyborg is as much or was as much of a threat to her as people thought that she was, because she's a good boxer, Cyborg, but her general striking is not on the same level as Nunes. But yeah, I was quietly optimistic about Holly Holm this fight. And then she came out and said something like, oh yeah, it's good that me and John Jones are going to be on the same card together. And I thought, oh God, don't compare yourself to him, because he always wins and you often lose. So, I was quite optimistic, but as we saw, it ended like the other ones end. And I think that she's the final peg in the conversation of if Nunes is the GOAT, because she's the only person, I think, at that level that could have that had a chance of beating her, and she's now been beaten. So I'm not sure who there is. So I think this is the beginning of quite a long and boring reign for Nunes again, a bit like John Jones, because who's left? Who's left?
Yeah. Well, I think she's beaten all the former champions now, hasn't she? She's beaten Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, Holly Holm, and Cyborg. So she's beaten all the champions. And, I mean, let's be fair, she's done it in seriously impressive fashion every time. So, and obviously, she's beaten Shevchenko before she became a champion. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think at the moment there is much argument that she isn't the best. And, I mean, whatever fight she has, I think everyone's going to tune in and watch now. Specifically, like Ricky said, if they can market her, right, I think there's definitely a gold mine there on Amanda Nunes. So, I mean, give it some time. I think it'll come, because the UFC, they're not, although the UFC is doing really well, I don't think they are where they were a few years ago in terms of stars, when you had sort of Conor fighting, Ronda fighting. You know, I think they've dipped a little bit, and I think they definitely need to build some of these superstars back up, personally. I don't know, what's your thoughts on that, Rick?
I think they're looking for people, for personalities, over, instead of building up people with like fight skills. I mean, if you look at the people UFC have tried to build up in the last couple of years, Paige VanZant, Sage Northcutt, just, you know, personalities rather than people who've done it the hard way. They need to start thinking, right, this guy's got the potential to become a champion. We need to market him, not because he's got a big mouth, but because he can fight and he's got an exciting style. For instance, we'll probably come on to it in a bit, but Jack Marshman, the lad Jack Marshman fought, that guy was, he had everything. He was so impressive. And I hate to say it, but I hope it brings Jack Marshman comfort, because the guy who beat him, I think he will go on to do some big things in the UFC, and Dana White needs to hitch his car to him as soon as possible. So hopefully, like, that guy was just a stud. I've never seen anyone like fight like that before. Yeah. It was so reckless, but at the same time, perfect. Do you get me? It was a perfect storm.
Well, let's jump straight into that one now then, Rick, since we're on it. Obviously, the headlining fight for the early prelims was Jack Marshman, obviously Wales' own, veteran in the sport for Wales, and a real pioneer in the sport, I would say, in this country. He fought 21-year-old Edmund Shabazian. Now, this kid, like Ricky said, he came in highly touted as a boxer. He came in with a lot of hype. And, I mean, Rick, you said it yourself, he lived up to that on Saturday, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, like, Marsh... Like, and I was listening to Rogan's commentary about Marshman as well, how you saying that that he's tough and he's seen it all. And he literally has seen it all in the cage. There's some, like, I remember his girlfriend was asking for a tip for a horror film on Facebook. Yeah. And I recommended one of his early Bama fights. It was a bloodbath, and he was on the winning end of it. But like, he's a type of guy. Yeah, that was the one. He's, you know, that, and he's as tough as they come. And do you know what? I thought, like, the guy is 9-0. He hasn't been in the same kind of wars Jack has. But wow, what an amazing fighter! And I love Jack to bits, and I'm sure he will come back. And there's no shame in losing to a guy like...
They both traded a few punches the first couple of seconds, which I thought, you know, it's going to be a bit of fireworks. But I think as soon as he saw, you know, he had a little taste of Jack's punch and he said, no way, let's go with a smart move. And from there, it was just domination, wasn't it? He took him down, stacked him against the cage, and it was over from there, really.
When Jack started to throw the legs up, it reminded me of when Jack won the Shock and Awe middleweight title against Mike Ling about 8 years ago, where Jack got taken down. Mike Ling was on top and Jack swung for the armbar. I was hoping that was going to happen. I could see it happening, but it never did. And, you know, and I was gutted. But again, that guy, I think Shabazzian, I think he's gone all the way. But I think Jack will be back. Definitely. Yeah.
I think, well, I mean, listen, everyone who's Welsh and everyone's in the UK who likes MMA is a Jack Marshman fan. He's so exciting and such a nice guy.
Did you see the shape on him as well?
Yeah.
He looked outstanding, like the best I've ever seen him.
Yeah. He's been training hard for this one. I think that's what will make him a little bit more disappointed. But I think on the other hand as well, he's lost this fight, Rick, but he didn't take much damage either. So I think that means he can make a quick turnaround. There's a card coming up in Copenhagen. You know, I'd like to see him back sooner rather than later.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he didn't get hurt in the fight at all, so he's ready to go. He's probably having a nice time in Vegas, a week off, and then he'll come home and straight back into camp.
Yeah. And Peter, what was your take on this fight, Peter? You know, and what's next for both fighters, I should say? You've got Edman, who's 21 years old, which is ridiculously young, and he's just this complete physical specimen. Where does he go next? And then on the other hand, you've got Marshman. Couple of losses in the UFC now. What do you think?
Well, I know you and me were watching it and we were messing each other right after it, and I know one of the worries is the possibility of Jack being cut. But I was saying to you, because Jack's a stand-up fighter, his fights are usually entertaining, and as you said at the start of that fight, they were going at it, and you have to give credit to his opponent, because you thought, right, fuck this, I'll take Jack down. And it was quite smart of a young and up-and-coming fighter to do that. A lot of them would stand and trade with Jack. He didn't do that. Jack, I don't think he'll get cut. He's too entertaining. There's some great fights out there for him if we can put him up against somebody who wants to stand and bang. He seems to be getting the treatment Paul Bear Ducre get, to keep giving them these up-and-coming and undefeated monsters. You might not have heard of them. And as Ricky was saying, he's maybe not fought at the level Jack's fought, but he's definitely fought at a decent level. You can see that. His ground and pound was fucking vicious. And then when you got a chance, you took Jack's back just like that. Jack didn't even get a chance to fight the hand, and that was it. So a bit with the UFC and their matchmaking, who knows what they've got planned. So I'm like, the kid, hopefully they give him someone decent. As for Jack, not got a clue. They might give him somebody else, somebody making their debut, someone up and coming. It would be I don't think he'll. It's Copenhagen, 11 weeks away.
September 28th, so.
You might. If Jack's no hurt, you could maybe get him on the card. I don't know. They give him a European opponent rather than fight over in America, but as I say. With Dana White and all that, you don't know with their matchmaking. But I've got a feeling they'll match Jack up with somebody we've maybe not heard of, someone up and coming, like what they're doing with Paul Beard, Duke Craig. Mm. And that gives Jack a chance maybe to get a couple more wins under his belt as well.
Yeah, so and Nathan, what would you like to see next for Edman? I mean, it's a tough division, but he looks like a really promising young kid, doesn't he?
I haven't seen the fight, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Well, terrible.
He's in his bed.
It's too early for me anyway.
How dare you, Nathan? How dare you, Eddie?
I'm sorry. I'll do my homework next time.
Lewis, what do you think?
I mean, to be honest, Pete, I agree with what you said. Like, with the UFC, you never know. It potentially could be cut, but I think with the fights he's got, he's so exciting. He's just left the army now as well to focus on full-time training. I think if they take that into account, I think they give him at least one more shot. And I think Marshall's still got a lot more to give in the UFC, and I definitely want to see him have a couple more fights. So,
listen to this now. I remember when Paul Daly got cut from the UFC for punching Koscheck after the bell, and his famous line was, "The grass may not be greener on the other side, but there's plenty of it." And these days, with promotions like Bellator, ACA, the big one in Poland, and Brave as well in Bahrain,
one championship.
There's a career. There's a massive, well lucrative career after the UFC, and once you've been in the UFC, your stock increases in these other promotions, and you could. So if he does get cut, it'll be bad news because everybody wants to be in the UFC. But a fighter like Jack on a show like one where striking is appreciated in more in Asia, you could make a lot more money. So
KSW,
yeah. I mean, some of the fighters who's fought on the UFC and now fighting on his Eastern European and his Russian shows, they're making so much money now off the back of a stint in the UFC. And you know, I think Luke Barnett, he's killing it on Askham's, you know, and
Askham's there as well.
Askham, yeah, that's another one. And the Irish fella Norman Parks, yeah. You know, they're all killing it on these small shows. Not small shows, but big lucrative shows that haven't got the name brand of the UFC, but they are the top of the tree in these smaller, they're the big fish in these smaller ponds, but making just as much, if not more money than what the UFC are paying. So either way, if he gets cut, it's a shame, but there's plenty more to come from him no matter what happens.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Rick. I think whatever Jack Marshman's next fight is, hopefully UFC, but we'll all be tuning in to watch either way, I think. So, but a very good point. But let's get back onto the main card now.
Because yeah, please.
The next fight was one of the most craziest we've seen. George Masvidal, Cuban Jesus against Funky Ben Askren. Actually ended up being a flying knee, which was a 5-second stoppage. Quickest in UFC history. Could have even been sooner than that if the ref had got it sooner.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
Oh, you haven't seen that one? Oh, I don't feel as bad now.
Everybody's seen it. Even my mother's seen it.
Go on Twitter for 2 seconds, you'll see that thing.
Yeah,
even my mother's seen it. You know, everyone's seen it. I've seen the entire fight about 100 times.
It's a meme, isn't it, on Twitter now?
It's a GIF, yeah.
Oh, GIF, yeah, that's what I meant, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your whole fight was a GIF, isn't it?
What was your thoughts on this one, Nate?
I didn't think that it was going to happen like this, obviously. I'm sure that no one did. I thought that Askren was going to get in there and Khabib him, but he at all didn't. I'm kind of a bit baffled. I'm not really sure what it even means, because I think if they ran it back, I mean, like, he can't do that twice, can he? And he can't do it next time. So what's he going to do? Like if he did get a title shot, George Masvidal against Usman, like, he's not going to have to flying knee him, is he? So I don't know. I think it's almost like a freak accident, like, took place in the ring. It just happened to be, like, after the bell went.
No, I wouldn't say it was an accident. I mean, if you look at Askren's entire career,
it's just that
if you look at his entire career, his first move is always to shoot the double leg.
Yeah,
And Masvidal timed it perfectly. He drilled it. There's footage of him drilling the flying knee. And it was a perfectly timed, well-executed game plan. All 5 seconds of it.
It's like a 5-second. Yeah, no. I actually put that in the article that I just posted on MMA UK. That it's like a 5-second game plan, basically. But
if he missed, I don't know what you would have done next.
Well, that's what happened with Darren Till. He came out and just basically kicked him the balls, and then it got reset.
Yeah, I think what I would, my sort of take on it is that Masvidal, he's a street guy, he's a wild man. He might not do the same thing against if he gets a fight with Usman, but he's going to do something equally as wild, I always feel. Like I said, he came out charging against Chael, ended up hitting him in the balls. It didn't work straight away, but he has got that kind of element of a wild side about Masvidal. I think that's why he's got a big fan base. Right. I think that's why he's going to fight for the title next. Incredible knockout.
I don't think he'll fight for the title next, though.
I hope he does after that, because he was just such an insane knockout. He's got so much momentum now after knocking out Darren Till in London. I think he gets a title shot next. I mean, Peter, what do you think? I know you're a massive Ben Askren fan.
I'm just thinking. I thought that it was an early stoppage with the ref. I think if we gave him another 3 days, he might have got back up like the Undertaker, and then he could have carried.
He wasn't
up,
knocked but... out. He was sleeping peacefully. That's what I saw on Twitter.
Did you see the meme where like they zoom in on his thumb and he's got his thumb stuck out? Have you seen that? And they said like, oh, it's nearly stoppage. He's got his thumb up, just like the Lawler fight where Lola had his thumb up.
Yeah,
I saw the one as well where it said Masvidal tap. That was quite
I think it's safe to say that Ben's a slow starter, because as I say, Robbie nearly knocked him out as well with that slam. So Ben needs to start his fights on his toes and a bit quicker, and maybe just stay on the outside for the first few seconds and wait and see what happens. But a lot of people underestimate George's wrestling and his ground game and all that. He wrestles with Colby, Romero, and I told the thing I was disappointed. I would like to have seen if Ben could have humped him for 3 rounds, because I don't know if he could have kept him down for 3 rounds. I think you would have been in for a surprise, but we'll never know that now.
Could you imagine if Masvidal missed, just flew over top of him?
Like Khabib.
Well, he right did. Like, that's the way he got to move. He hit it and then just sort of went over his shoulder.
But imagine it, no connection, and then he got dry humped for 3 rounds. If his game plan lasted 5 seconds, I mean, what would he have done if he missed? Do you know what I mean? Would he have said?
Yeah, that is the problem.
I'd agree with Peter, because I think people forget Masvidal actually did 3 full rounds with Damian Maia and didn't look out of place, didn't look too uncomfortable. So I don't see Ben Askren doing any more on the ground than Damian Maia can do.
I do.
For that, I feel like Masvidal would have been able to find his feet and win the fight in a different way. I predict him winning, and I know it ended soon, but I did have Masvidal winning that fight either way. I could
actually see them meeting in a few fights' time when George is coming back down and Ben's kind of building himself back up. It could be a potential match maybe again early next year, depending how their next few matches go.
And it's bad as well, so.
Yeah, well, it's a weird one, because you said afterwards, oh, it's nothing personal, I get punched my co-worker, but then you said, if I see him again, I'm going to knock him out. So you kind of, I don't know if he knows what he's saying.
That's Masvidal. He's an absolute wild man. He like sort of contradicts himself like in every sentence he says.
Yeah. Remember, he had the beef with Bisping, then the beef with Edwards. Remember, gave him the 3-piece, and just I don't know. He's a wild. I like him. He's entertaining. So it'd be interesting.
He's like Nate Diaz, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, talking about Diaz and Khabib were going at it as well. They had to be separated.
Oh, God. Yeah, I can't say that I found that particularly engaging, because I just find those two. I mean, like, especially Diaz, all he seems to do is get into scuffles and just get drunk. And I don't know, he needs to, like, he's got that fight coming up with Pettis. So until he does that fight, I'm not going to give him any attention for his stupid actions.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen Diaz get that fight with Poirier, but obviously that wasn't to be, and now Poirier's going to fight Khabib, so. I think there are two good matchups coming up for us in a stack like weight division, so we'll definitely see these.
I'm so excited about that. Yeah.
Definitely see these guys play it out.
Lewis, we've actually got a question. Where does Georgie Boy's knockout of Askren rank in the most brutal knockouts of all time?
It's up there, isn't it, for me?
Yeah.
Definitely up there. It's up there with Rampage Jackson. Who is it? He knocked someone out with a, like, they put a triangle on him and
Ricardo Arona.
That's the one. That's one of my best ones. I think Bisping getting knocked out by Dan Henderson, that's another good one.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Holly Holm,
Ronda Rousey.
Yeah,
a brutal one.
Yeah, and a good one was Amanda Nunes, Rousey as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. And when Barbosa did that spin heel kick on that guy and just
Terry at him,
just stiffened him, didn't he? That was probably the best one for me.
Yeah, that was because I used to talk to Terry at him quite a lot. And then he got knocked out by Barbosa, and it was just the horriblest thing. But it was such a
him again, Rick, you know.
But it's on every single UFC highlight they've ever released since. So it must be hard watching it if you Terry at him every time a UFC show a highlight.
Yeah.
It's you again knocked out over and over again.
Have you seen Paul Felder's reaction when he was doing the commentary? I've seen that on Twitter today. John Askin just carried on commentating like it was meant to happen. Yeah, and Joe Rogan was like, wow, whoa. And Paul Felder, just his mouth was open, like he'd seen a ghost and didn't say a word, just staring at the cage. It was quite funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a brilliant knockout. It's always good to have crazy fights like that. It always does something and adds an element to the card, I think. So,
It had the potential to be the most boring fight of all time if Askin got his way. Yeah. It could have been just a bore fest. And it didn't, and it turned out to be one of the greatest finishes ever, because that's just went viral.
Yeah.
Which is UFC will be loving that.
So Rick, does he get a title shot next against Masvidal?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's the biggest card of the year, International Fight Week, co-main event. As you said earlier, the momentum he's riding on the back of now after beating Till. He's on everybody's lips now. It's the fight that has to happen, in my opinion, versus Usman. It's got to happen next because, as you said, the momentum. You got to strike while the iron's hot, while everybody's talking about Masvidal.
What about Colby? He's still getting into them.
Yeah,
there.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
Exactly.
Screw Colby. He's weird.
I think he's earned a title shot as well.
He definitely has a few times over. But I would love to watch Robbie Lawler just kick the shit out of Kobe. I just think that would be the best thing ever. Because he's like one of those guys that is just always a nightmare, as we saw in the Askren fight. I'd just love for Lawler just to kick the shit out of him.
Yeah. No, fair play. So that goes down from one knockout, one fight down to another. Luke Rockhold fought Jan Blachowicz, as you'd say. Obviously making his debut appearance at light heavyweight in the UFC. Second round KO, pretty brutal KO as well. Peter, I'll come to you first on this one. What was your take on Luke Rockhold's performance and Jan Blachowicz's performance as well?
It went the way I thought it'd go, and I was surprised because a lot of people, and I'm talking about high level coaches in Europe and all that, were all tipping Rockhold, and I thought the guy's stepping up a weight. He's a bit bigger, but if you hit his chin, he's going out. I just thought if he hits him, then he's going to get knocked out. Actually, I think he's broke his jaw. I think Dana was saying that Luke should maybe retire now and concentrate on his modelling and stuff as well. I don't know if it stems from the Bisping fights, but I just don't like Luke at all. I know he's got a bit of a fan base and all that, he's an arrogant. You could see with the Bisping one, he was arrogant when you beat him, and then you underestimated Michael in the rematch, and we've seen what happened there. I just don't rate Rockhold at all.
Peter, do you think he's got a bit of a glass chin now after that Bisping fight?
But don't get me wrong, if the hit he took, I think it would knock a lot of people out, so I wouldn't say he's got a glass chin.
He was hurt before that when he got clipped earlier on, though, wasn't he, at the end of the first round?
I can't remember, I was drunk. Did he? Oh, yeah, is that when you done your wee chicken dance?
Yeah, he did a little.
That was the end. He took a hit after the round ended, didn't it?
Yeah.
The bell ended, yeah. But I think the referee said he already started the move when the bell rang, so it's okay. Because I thought, we could have maybe a no contest or something here, or he might say he can't continue, whatever. But give him his due, he went and continued the fight. But as I say, I just don't rate Luke at all. I've nothing personal against the guy. He just comes across as a bigger dick now that he stepped up a weight. But I think Dana could be right, and maybe it's time for him to hang. Well, maybe he could go to Bellator and raise some hell there. You don't know. As yeah. Ricky was saying earlier on, there's a lot of money still to be made there as well if he wants to.
He'll be a big fish. He'll be a big fish on Bellator. Exactly. Former champion.
That's what I thought when he was talking about Holly Holm. I thought, I don't know what our financial situation is like, but if she needs to continue fighting, why not just go to another promotion and become a champion? She could easily do that in a different promotion.
Yeah. And Rick, speaking of that first round with Rockhold and a little bit of a chicken dance, that's something I wanted to ask you about, a more technical question. If he threw the punch and bell went when he threw it, does it count if it lands after the bell? If he threw it before the bell went?
Recently in Bangkok when I was MCing the Asian Open, bit of a brag there. In the super heavyweight final, there was a guy from Bahrain, Pasha Karanaev. He threw the punch, the bell went, and his opponent was sparked out cold, like completely goners. And but he got hit after the bell, but it still counted because the bell doesn't really stop the fight. It's the referee gotta, you know, initiate the fight. And he threw the punch before the bell went. So yeah, I mean, it's perfectly fine. As long as he's not throwing after the bell, you know, as long as he's not doing a Paul Daly trying to sneak round the back of the referee and land another shot, you know.
It's hard to stop a mid-punch, mid-kick, but you think the fighters hear that 10-second warning and kind of know the round? Because you see that sometimes when you hear it, they go in a bit harder. You think he knows it's a way to ring?
Well, let me tell you something now. Every time you hear the 10-second clapper, you always get one corner man who goes, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds, 10 seconds. And you're like, nah, mate. Every time you say 10 seconds, another second counts down. but they still shout in 10 seconds, and then the bell goes. So, like, not everyone is aware of the time around them, I don't think. Especially some cornermen. But, you mean, you are aware. Like, I find a lot of times when the 10-second clappers go, fighters just go hell for leather because they know they've got a bit in the tank and they just give it the last 10 seconds. So I don't know. It's hard to know when the bell's going to stop. You don't count down in your head unless you're like Rayman or something.
It happened in the Melendez fight, didn't it? He didn't do much, and then when the Claxo went for the last 10 seconds, the third round, he came at him, come on, you motherfucker. And I'm like, you're a bit late with that now. You know what I mean? So he
Sorry, mate.
On you go.
I thought in the Cowboy Ferguson fight, Ferguson threw a punch after the bell. Like, it was like ding, and then he just threw one more.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one because it does seem regressive and it is dirty, but at the end of the day, you're in a fight, so I suppose it is the ref's job to get away from each other, isn't it, really?
Yeah. And Nick, what did you think of Rockhold's move up to light heavyweight? Did you like him at that weight, or do you want to see him to fight there again or go back to middleweight now after that?
No, I mean... Oh, sorry.
I thought you said
Rick, sir.
No, I said Nate.
I thought you got you right, okay?
I thought he said Dick in both of you.
I thought this was the Ricky Wright show.
No, it's a 100K drop, Ricky. 100K drop. You just need to answer this question correctly and you'll win. What was the question you fucked up? Was it about fish?
The baguette diamond.
Was that what it was? A diamond.
Yeah. Baguette diamond.
You'll never forget that, will you?
Never, ever forget. If I ever propose to my girlfriend, it will have to be with a baguette diamond now.
So, yeah. Anyway, Nate.
Oh, sorry, mate. Yeah.
Crack on, Nate.
A baguette... No, sorry. Who is it? Rockhold. I think he's one of those guys that he's not very strong, even though he is quite athletic. So I think he was a better middleweight than he is a light heavyweight. Although he's massive and he didn't look small. Like, he looked like a light heavyweight when he was fighting a light heavyweight. But obviously, as we saw, he doesn't quite have the power. Like, because Bisping was also a light heavyweight, wasn't he? And he looked to me more like a light heavyweight because he's got that big head. And that is, like, I think you've got to have a bit of extra power because the, whatever it is, the 20 pounds on Rockhold, like he looks good. Obviously, he's a gorgeous boy, but, like, he looks good, but it didn't really translate to skill. Yeah. And I thought he looked a bit, he looked a bit uncoordinated. He didn't, his shots weren't really getting off. He kind of looked a bit heavy, like,
lumbersome.
Yeah, exactly.
Good word.
And
I love that word.
Like, every single time a fighter comes
up... Is that just another word for being fat?
Yep. I'm a lumbersome MC.
Obviously, with Luke now, he's had a big knockout of Yoel, knocked him out. Blackwitz knocked him out. Bisping knocked him out. Three big knockouts in four matches. Do you think it's time for him to hang up his gloves, Nate? Or would you want to see him have another go?
I think this is where the song stops for him. I think that he doesn't want to go back down to middleweight because there are absolute nightmares there. And he was champion when it was easy to be champion. He got Chris Weidman on a sort of bad day. I don't think he goes back down to middle. And I think that if he was going to have an easy fight, it would have been that fight. Not easy, but like a former champion can't really start going down 14, 15 in the rankings. It makes no sense. I think, like Ricky said, he'd be good at Bellator. And I think, if not, he should give up. How old is he? 37, 38?
Was that Rockhold?
29.
Yeah.
I don't know how old he is, actually. Mid-30s, I think.
Yeah.
He's got his
modelling
career as well. Which
yeah. If you've got a modelling career, just stop, like, get out of the cage, you poor thing. Because, obviously, he's going to get
That's why I retired from fighting. My modelling career.
See, a lot of people don't know that, Ricky, that you did. I didn't know about that until I think Shaky done a post about you, but how you always fought with heart and all that. What was your record, Ricky? How many fights did you have?
Retired undefeated. And if you look on Topology, I am 2-0. But that's a lie. I am 1-0-1. I drew my first fight.
You're 1-0-1?
Yeah, but don't tell Topology. I like being 2-0.
Yeah, Topology's going to pull their finger out with these incorrect results. Peter Knox getting a message from first thing in the morning.
Ricky, do you hate Rick? Well, I actually know the guy who does the Topology for Europe. He stays in Glasgow, so I might just drop him a message.
My fight, I drew the fight. I probably lost, but, like, every judge is my friend, and they felt sorry for me, probably.
Oh, no.
So... No, it was probably a draw was a fair result, so I wouldn't mind changing it back to a draw because it's respect to my opponent who is a decent guy.
Does he still fight your opponent?
No, but his son fights now and his son would beat the crap out of the pair of us. So
yeah, so it could be like a Creed rematch.
Yeah.
No, I ain't going in.
No, but you can have a son. Your son can fight his son. Have a kid.
Well, I've probably got an illegitimate bastard somewhere. so, we'll see.
All these MCing gigs out in Bahrain and Thailand. There's about to be a few little Ricky Wrights around about the place, isn't there?
Well, we'll see in a couple of years' time when I go back.
So, last fight on the main card then. Speaking of modelling careers, Diego Sanchez and Michael Chiesa. unanimous decision from Chiesa. Obviously looked really strong and pretty much dominated Sanchez for the three rounds. Pete,
there,
what was your thoughts on the matchup there?
Oh, where'd you start? As I say, Sanchez, he's such a hard guy to finish as well. So it always looked like from the very first minute that he was going to get dominated. There was no much, whatever he'd done, Michael had an answer. He was trying to turn on him, he'd just take your back, whatever. So we got to give Diego some credit because when his back was taken, he didn't panic. Took the hand, his experience showed. What's next for Diego? I know they were asking Dana. Dana was saying every loser in the card should retire apart from Diego. But his excuse for that was Diego's no getting knocked out and all that. It's no like Chuck did. You know what I mean? Chuck started taking some heavy knockouts and stuff. So
he's a top opponent as well, mate.
Yeah, what worries me about Diego is he's now left his team. Jackson Wink, and you had that coach. You had only one guy in his corner, and that one guy seems to be just as crazy as him. And their training seems to be breathing exercises, so which didn't
that
really help
makes
him.
Makes me nervous.
Yeah, and he and they interviewed the coach as well. I don't know if you've seen the Sanchez interview. They asked him two questions. The interview lasted an hour. The same exciting thing happened with his coach. They asked him a couple of questions, and he wouldn't shut the fuck up. So it's that worries me a bit. That really
especially changing camp that old as well. Like, I mean, it's not good.
I actually thought Diego should have retired a few fights ago, and he proved me wrong because he said who was it he beat? The guy beat CM Punk. Beat him, and that
Mickey Gall and Craig White.
So Mickey Gall was impressive.
Mickey Gall, yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That was impressive. So he has got fights left in him, but you just do worry that he's taking a lot of hot. Well, I actually posted a stat, I think. Behind BJPN, he's taking more hits to the head than any other fighter. Obviously, he's fought a lot more than most fighters, but he's taken thousands of hits to the head. When you see him getting interviewed and all that, you think he's not all there now. So it really worries me long-term, the effects of him, the CTE and all that kind of stuff, and mental illness and stuff like that. That really worries me what the future holds for him.
I think he said,
look at BJ Penn, it's not good.
Go on. Yeah. I think he said he hasn't got CTE, he's a Jedi. How do you react to that, Ricky?
Well, let me tell you.
He has got CTE, that's what that means.
Well,
yeah.
Diego Sanchez has always been a bit weird. Do you know what I mean? I met him in UFC London about 8 years ago, and I was a bit cocky, and he was going out with the UFC ring girl, Ali Sonoma, at the time. I don't know if he's still with her, but I said, Diego, can I have a picture? And he said, yeah, sure, man. I gave him my camera and put my arm around his girlfriend and said, and said, yeah, one of us, me and Ali. And I didn't think he liked that. I thought, oh, I shouldn't have done that. He's taking that really personally.
Because he talked about him, he knew he was going to steal his girl.
Well, maybe. No, but I thought, I was people watching a lot that weekend, and I was thinking, is something a bit different to him? He's a bit special. So I don't know whether the hits of the head have exacerbated it, but Diego Sanchez is nothing more than a gatekeeper now with a big name that he used to have back in the day. I mean, he's never reached the pinnacle where he's become a champion, and I don't think he'll have like Bisping. You thought his day was done, and then he pulled it out of the bag. I can't see Diego Sanchez doing that, and he's got to be pushing on now. Judging by Dana White's comments, he's happy with his role, Diego's role as a gatekeeper. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. If they ever have a championship fight and somebody pulls out late notice, Dana would probably call Diego up because he respects him that much.
Yeah.
He loves everybody for the TUF1 guy. So there is always that slim chance. Diego was actually talking about before the fight that he was working himself back up for a title shot. He thought if he won that would earn him a title shot. I think he should consider his future. I think he will continue to fight. He'll probably have another one anyway and see how it goes. But it's a bit sad that Dana is willing to wait till he's brutally knocked out and say, right, enough's enough.
What about Chiesa and all this? Because he obviously stepped up, beat Carlos Condit, won legend, beat Diego Sanchez. Now is he settled in at welterweight now, do you think, guys? Ricky, accompany with Alan first.
Yeah, I think he should just keep doing what he's doing. I mean, again, Diego Sanchez isn't the same Diego Sanchez from 6-7 years ago, but he's still a big name. And again, it's all about momentum, and he seems to be riding high, but I don't know, I can't see him touching the top of the tree at the moment, Masvidal, Usman. I don't think he's that level. No?
I don't know. Nate, what's your thoughts now, buddy? Chiesa, what's next for him?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, mate.
Yeah, he said dick.
I think that Chiesa will end up being like Diego Sanchez in the future, because he's good, but he's just that, he's like that, he's very good but unranked, or what is he ranked at welterweight? It can't be higher than like 12 or 13.
I don't know.
I always thought of him as quite a solid lightweight fighter, but I think that there's quite a few of them moving up because lightweight is such a dangerous place to be right now. So I'm not a big fan of the guys moving up, like, if they don't need to. But yeah. But he's been a welterweight for how many fights? Three fights?
Two, I think.
I don't know.
That's what most fighters do, don't they? When it's not going their way in a division, they kind of have to consider changing weight classes. So, but he says he looks big at that weight. He looks healthy. He says there's no drain on him in the weight cut. So you never know. He might be able to work his way up towards a title shot. But we'll just need to find out. You never know.
They always say, "Oh, I feel so much better. I haven't got to cut weight."
But then he's obviously going up against guys who are cutting weight. So, and the ones that do it well, then you notice a difference. But we'll never know. But you never know. He might strike it lucky with his court case with Conor McGregor. As far as I know, he's still trying to sue Conor.
I don't know
what the latest. As far as I know, he's not allowed to talk about it. So I think Katie interviewed him, but she wouldn't allow to ask him anything about it. So I don't know what the latest with that is.
Yeah, that was horrendous. Yeah, I think you definitely. I think he definitely deserves some money there.
Yeah, definitely. So, guys, that's all the main card then. But what I want to know is, Ricky, I'm going to come to you first, and then to you, Peter. Pay-per-view.
Hang on a second. This is the MMA UK podcast, and we haven't talked about Marvin Arnold.
Arnold.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Arnold.
We don't need to get him to do something in the fight.
No, they used to be.
Yeah, no, you're right. That one slipped my mind. Alan, you're right.
I mean, you know, otherwise you're going to get lambasted for not talking. I haven't seen the fight, but it's Gilbert Melendez he beat, didn't he?
Gilbert Melendez on a unanimous decision, so absolutely massive. And apologies to Arnold Allen, or what did you call him, Rick?
Marvin Arnold.
Marvin.
Apologies, Marvin Hagler. Arnold Allen.
That's going to make a good meme. That one.
Meme.
Yeah, well, let's touch on that one quickly, Pete. Arnold Allen, Gilbert Melendez. How much does that win mean for him?
Well, that was the perfect performance, and obviously it was against a big name. Obviously, Melendez, what, 2 years since his no fault, and
yeah,
I know fighters say we don't get cage rust, but he was definitely rusty. He took a lot of hits off him, and he was still coming forward. But it wasn't the same Melendez that we're used to. But you can't take that away from Arnold. But he done what he had to do. Obviously, he didn't get the finish, but he said that afterwards. I'm the decisionator now because I'm not getting these finishes. But you're stepping up a level now. It's going to be much harder to get the finishes. But he's showing that he can go three rounds. He's not like he's gassing or nothing. He's going the same pace as he was in the first round. I'm really, really, really excited to see what they give him next, because he's beating a big game there.
No, you've got to give credit where it's due for Arnold. He's really stepping up to the plate this year, I think.
Definitely.
Yeah. I can't wait to see who the match. As you say, you never know with the UFC. As far as I know, there's no any plans for another UK event this year at the moment. There's been rumours, but. So it'd be interesting to see what they give him next. I think we deserve another UK event this year.
Hopefully, yeah, hopefully.
We do. We've got a lot. We've got Arnold, we've got Molly, we've got Jojo, we put on a hell of a card. That would be
We got Jack Tank Shaw.
Yeah.
Exactly. That would be worth a pay-per-view. See if they said to us, UK, London, Manchester, whatever, Glasgow,
Cardiff.
Filled it with all the UK fighters that we've got at the moment. That would be worth paying £20 for. At a decent time. No giving us a card at fucking 3 o'clock in the morning with two UK fighters on it.
Yeah. And we're coming into my next point now.
None of them were on with what you had to pay for anyway, were they? They weren't none of them were on the main card.
Yeah.
So it made it worse.
This was what I was going to say, Peter, with regards to the pay-per-view. We'll get onto that now. I already pay for Fight Pass and BT Sports specifically for UFC fights. Also, then you have to pay additional ones for pay-per-view. Is it a bit of a piss take, do you think, from BT and UFC?
Well, it depends who you listen to, because BT released a statement and they're blaming the UFC, and the UFC are blaming BT. I think it's got to do with, obviously, they're going to go to 11 sports, and we knew at that time that 4 cards per year under 11 sports would be pay-per-view. So, obviously, 11 sports, as far as I know, couldn't have come to agreement to get it screened on BT and Sky, and that's why UFC pulled the plug. So they had a clause in the contract that they could go back to BT. And I think they went back to BT and goes, look, same deals before, apart from maybe 4 cards a year, we do pay-per-view. So BT, I think, have accepted that. I think they've went and done this the totally the wrong way. I think if you're going to do it, I think it's a bit early for the sport in Europe to be charging us pay-per-views at 2, 3 in the morning. Maybe it might have worked with a Conor McGregor card. You don't know. You could probably would have got a few people paying for that. As I say, I think they've been better waiting for a massive stack of UK card. Absolutely fucking stack it with Darren Till and all that. Everybody on it, Stevie Ray, whoever they got, just stack it with British fighters and European fighters. The biggest European event of all time. Just absolutely have a JoJo versus, who did I mention earlier on?
Molly.
That could be a main event for a UK card. I would pay to watch that.
But listen up now. Every time they put on a UK card and stack it full of European fighters, you get like so many fans complain that we get the UK fighters. And to be honest, when I used to go watch UFC's regular, I would only be going for the UK fighters. You know, I've seen them come up from the amateurs through the novice pros to the pros to the UFC. I wanted to see them on the big stage, but so many people would complain that, we haven't got any big American names. Where's the Anderson Silvers, the Chael Sonnens and all that? And it's like, mate, you know, these are our homebred fighters. Like, I used to watch.
I think that's the difference between a casual and a casual fan and a sort of a diehard fan, really. Or not even a diehard fan, but a specific MMA fan. You know, if you're out watching local fights and seeing these guys, as most of us are, then when you get to see, you want to see those guys on the UFC card. If you're just sort of someone who's watching Conor McGregor, John Jones, then you want to see one of those. So I think that is kind of where the divide is between someone who just watches casually now and again and might make a trip to London if UFC is there, and someone who sort of really does love the sport.
I think
the time difference is a big, it's easy for us because it's 3 in the morning. We know we can get a cheap link in the morning and watch it for free quite easily. So yeah, but the next pay-per-view is going to be Abu Dhabi, which will be slightly different. It's going to be on a lot earlier for us.
It'll be on around about 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
Exactly.
So
exactly how many people can stay off social media and wait for the event to finish and then go find a link at that time of day?
When I was emceeing for Titan FC live from Kazakhstan, my girlfriend watched from her work on Fight Pass. Just a nice another brag there. But do it what you want.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, Ricky writes an MC as well. If you didn't know it after this chat.
But she, you know, Kazakhstan is in the same region, and she watched live from work under her desk on Fight Pass on her phone. You know, and if I had a real job, that's what I would be doing too for the Abu Dhabi event.
Yeah. And Nate, what's your take on this whole pay per view situation in the UK? Do you think are UK people too stingy to buy, or is it something that we're going to have to get used to?
I don't see why we should have to pay if it's in the middle of the fucking night, as well as having to pay to pay. That's the problem, is paying, have to pay.
Who's stingy is your answer?
Well, yeah, I don't mind paying, like when Wilder Fury was on, I just paid for it because I just wanted it so badly. Sometimes going online to Twitter and trying to find a free stream like, for me, it takes the fun out of it. So if I can pay for it, just get it, I'll do it. Like, as long as it's, you know, under, I don't know, 40 quid or something. But to pay, which is a bit like, it's the same thing that's happening with the ESPN in America. Like, you got to pay, and then you got to pay again. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
But listen, when I first got into MMA, it was like 2004. I'd have to wait 3 days of avoiding spiders online and then meet like a guy on Pennygrig Roundabout by the chip shop, and he'd give me like a blank CD with all the fights on, and I gave him a fiver. I had to avoid spoilers for 3 days, you know, and that was Pride and UFC, and we're so spoiled now. 15 years on, we are really spoiled with how much we can pay if we want, we can stream it if you want, you know.
Yeah. Was that three weeks in a row, Ricky, with Bellator London, Cage Warriors London, and then 239?
Yeah. We're so spoilt now. There's so much MMA available.
But it's so expensive to get like a fight. Like, to have actually paid for the fight this weekend, how much would it cost? It's a bit boring, but how much is BT Sport? Like 100 quid?
Depends who you're with. I get it for free, but I have to have at least the medium package from Virgin to get that. I've got the extra large, so I get it anyway. But it depends what. But as I say, BT have got like the Premiership. They've now got the WWE from next year. So it's a lot of people saying I'm cancelling this, but they'll probably sign back up because the wrestling thing, maybe not the same as what it was when we watched it with Hulk Hogan and Undertaker and whatever. But I thought Undertaker's still fighting, I think. But it's still the biggest thing in America. It's still a big thing, the wrestling. So it depends what you want BT Sport for. Because you do get a lot of different sports on BT. A lot of football now. So I'm surprised that Sky gave up the wrestling too easy and get to get outbid for BT for that one. That's a big, big loss to Sky. So I find though
that a lot of MMA fans are massive nerds who don't watch any other sport. So
that's me, mate. I don't watch any other sport except boxing. I've no interest in football, rugby, anything like that. So I'd have to pay 100 quid plus for BT Sport. And then how much is the card? I don't know.
Lewis watches Egg Chasers. He watches the rugby. That's not even a sport.
Egg Chasers.
Oh. I watch rugby too, son. It's a Welsh thing, you know. There's one sport. There's three sports in Wales.
The Wales is good at.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we are.
Yeah. Well, guys, I think that little segment there brings us to the end of the show this evening. I want to say first of all, Rick, big thank you for coming on, buddy. Where can people get you on social media, buddy?
Twitter, MC_Ricky_Wright. Same on Instagram. If you want to follow me, I just talk shit most of the time.
I think they gathered at this last hour, Rick, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, no, seriously, big thank you for coming on, buddy. I know
anytime.
I'm a jet setter these days, so good to pin you down for a little chat.
Oh, hey, Lewis, this is... Every week this happens, right? I know you weren't on last week. Katie done it.
Yeah.
Chris Emmanuel does it. You've not asked your guest the greatest question in the world.
Go on, I'll let you do it.
Right, so this is to you. Well, Lewis, you can answer it as well, because I don't think you've ever answered it, right? So this is a question to everybody. If you could change one rule in MMA, what would you change?
Oh, headbutts.
Yeah.
Easy.
I'd agree with that. And open my eyes to the headbutt game. So I'm going headbutts as well.
Nathan, what about you?
I said, don't wear gloves. Just have you out there in shorts and nothing else. No mouth guard, no gloves. Real fighting.
Someone got headbutted in the UFC the other day. An Asian fella knocked a guy out, but you see the head coming in with the second shot. It was on the UFC on the weekend. No?
No.
No, I didn't see it.
No.
But see, what one answer I've never heard is, well, I think I've heard one person say this, I would get rid of rounds. I wouldn't have three rounds or five rounds. I'd just have one big round.
Old school.
Richard Shaw said that, didn't he?
That would sort men out for the boys.
Yeah.
No breaks. Just straight in there. You get a lot more finishes.
Yeah,
15-minute fight.
And got more asthma attacks as well.
But you get a lot more. You wouldn't get these shitty decisions and all that, and more the blaming the judges for being robbed and all this kind of stuff. You get more finishes.
One continuous round, maybe.
Because a lot of fighters depend on those breaks as well. That's part of their strategy. I'll get this by the first round. That guy will start to gas and stuff like that. It would change the game plan. And that other one that somebody has another good idea is telling them the scores for each round as well. Giving them the official judges' score.
They do that with the WBC and in boxing. They have trialed it, but sometimes if you're up on the rounds and you know you're up on the rounds, you're gonna just gonna tuck up and coast the rest because you're not gonna have to overcommit. Like if you know you're done in the rounds, you're gonna fight harder. So it affects the flow of the fight. But like I was watching Polaris, the grappling competition not so long ago. And I think it's one 15-minute round, but they break it down into 5 minutes. It's 3 rounds, but without a break. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So after the first 5 minutes, that's considered the first round. And then the second set of 5 minutes is the second round. And the third 5 minutes is the third round. And each round is scored individually, but there's no break in the rounds.
Is there a bell?
Polaris, yeah.
No. There's no bell in between the 5 minutes. It's just...
Oh, no. Yeah.
So they don't go round two? Round three.
No, they just keep going.
Oh.
Okay. So why rounds?
Just for the judging. Just for the judging purposes.
Just judge one round. It'd be much easier, wouldn't it? Judging 3 rounds, wouldn't it?
Just each person has one score, not
I was actually talking to a judge because there was a few, I'll remain nameless, but it was over the Cage Warriors London. Obviously, there was a few decisions there and all that, and he was showing me what they need to work on. And I don't think a lot of coaches and fighters realise what fight was it, Lewis, with Katie's guy? Who was it?
Webb.
So basically, Webb was taking Fredericks down, but he wasn't doing anything. So the judges don't score that. Like in the fifth round, after they got the point deducted, Webb took him down. He only landed 2 blows, even though he was in top for 4 minutes. He only landed 2 blows. Fredericks landed 40 blows while on the bottom. Right, if you go back and count them, I counted them after I spoke to this judge, and that's why the fight was a draw, because Webb thought he won it, he laid on him, he threw 2 elbows, that was it for four minutes. But Fredericks cut him 40 times and an attempted submission as well, which didn't come off. So it's very hard for judges as well.
Yeah, no, fair play, but there's some food for thought there, I think, Nathan, there.
Definitely. So,
someone say food.
I'm a fan of not giving points for tried submissions, because anyone could try and submit anyone. Like it's got to actually, I think it's got to be put on submitting anything, otherwise you just
failed submission is like really hard. A failed submission is like throwing a punch and missing, perhaps.
Well, when somebody got me choked in training, 100%. Somebody got me in the rear naked and I tried to submit him with my chin just by squeezing down tighter and hoping I could hurt their arm. It didn't work, it might impress my coach. He might say, right, if it goes to a decision, you might award me the session, but it didn't work.
Yeah. Always next time for that one, though, Peter. I think that is actually a good move, I reckon.
Exactly, just once they got under, they just squeeze your chin in.
Yeah.
Squeeze like fuck.
No, good thing.
Ricky will know what I'm talking about. He's had a couple of fights.
I thought you were going to say a couple of chins then.
Thank you for coming on as well, buddy. Where can people get you on Twitter, Facebook?
It's at _NathanRenee or fightingforyourlife.co.uk or Instagram. It's the same. Is it at _NathanRenee? Yeah.
Enjoy your first late show.
It's been really like a spiritual experience for me.
Yeah, Great to have you on. And that
means he's wet himself.
Always, yeah. Always. Once an hour.
Keep the camera facing it, buddy. Keep it facing it. And Pete, wait. No, I can't call you Pete. Can I? You gotta be Pete there.
Yeah, you're sat.
Yes, about that. But Pete, what's the hashtags for MMA UK? Where can people get at us?
Well, I thought you were going to ask where they could find me. Maybe I want some attention for the change.
No, because last time I asked
you, Twitter, Peter.
I asked you, you said, don't bother.
Oh, did I? No, yeah. The only thing I've got in my head is you can get me at www.fuckusc.fuckbtpayperview.com.
Hashtag team stream.
Yeah, as for the, if you want, as I say, I said it last week, if you want any streams, drop me a message and I'll fucking... I've just got a notification saying Frankie's using a device that could help him masturbate vigorously when Ricky writes on the show. Can you see that on your phone there? MMA UK is quite easy. It's MMA UK on Facebook, but on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, just type in We Are MMA UK and you get to see lots of great interviews by Lewis, Katie, James. Maybe Nathan will do some interviews now that he's appeared on camera. So.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you very much for joining me, and I'll catch you all next time, all right?
Bye.
All right, thanks, guys. Cheers.